Good morning to those in house. Good morning to those online. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let's just welcome God to this place. He is here. Father God, we worship your name. Hallelujah. Just open up your mouth and thank him for his goodness. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord. You are awesome. Father, you are great. Thank you, God, for your loving kindness, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. We worship you, Father God. We worship your name this morning. Hallelujah, we worship your name this morning. Hallelujah, we worship your name this morning. Jehovah, we worship you. Jehovah, we worship you. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Father God, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Hallelujah, you are a mighty God. You are an awesome Father. We thank you, God, for keeping us. Thank you for keeping our family. Thank you for keeping our church. Thank you, Lord, for restoration and restructuring, Father. Thank you for what you have already done, Lord. We worship your name. We worship your name. We worship your name. We worship your name. We worship you in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. You are a mighty God. You are a mighty God. You are a mighty God. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Of man, you are the only You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are worthy of all praise, and to you our lives we raise. You are awesome in
be without you, Father. Moses said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we will not leave this place. It is your presence that gives us life. Your presence gives us liberty. Your presence releases us from the captivity of the enemy, the captivity that takes place in the mind. For when we know, God, of your presence, recognize your presence, embrace your presence, all shackles fall off, all limitations are removed. For in your presence there is joy forevermore. And in the presence of your glory, we have been transformed from glory unto glory. Oh, Father, we call upon your name. We thank you for your presence. We abide, oh God, in the shelter of your presence. In this secret place of the Most High, we come, oh God, to that place of intimacy. Help us, oh God, to draw nearer, that we may experience you, God, our Father, to the fullest. In this place today, let your presence bring about transformation. We give you praise, oh Most High. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we ask and decree it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That was awesome this morning. Thank you so very much. Appreciate it. You may be seated. It's hard to believe that we just started 2023 and 2023 is almost done with the first month. How quickly things are moving. I used to remember in the younger days, Christmas, and we'll wait for Christmas to come around. Now it's like you blink and it's here. The year just started, and before you know it, it will be done. We're visiting with a very dear daughter of the Most High God the other day, and she made a very remarkable statement that only she can come up with. She said, I found out that even when I'm sleeping, time keeps on going. So whether I'm awake or asleep, time keeps on clicking. And therefore, the Word of God says that we need to redeem the times. We must make every day count. Amen? Tonight, we will have a Tehillah night. Tehillah is a Hebrew word for praise. And tonight, our worship team will be doing songs, praise songs that have been birthed in this house, through vessels that have been raised in this house. And then we're going to have other psalmists, one from Cameroon, one from Nigeria, one from New York. And in the one from New York will actually be bringing the praise of God all the way from Jerusalem. So in a sense, we're going to have Jerusalem, Israel, represented tonight. Praise the Lord. And then we're going to have one right here in our wonderful city of Winnipeg. And I want to encourage you as strongly as I can to come, be present. Come dance before the Lord. Come celebrate the goodness of God. As you dance and praise and worship, you'll be stepping upon everything that stands in your way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are going to step on that enemy, and by the authority of the Word of God, whatever it is that he swallowed up, he's going to throw up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight is your night to give the devil not just a migraine. Hallelujah. Praise God. But as your hands are lifted up in surrender to God, they will also be the hands of victory. Hallelujah. You know, God loves us, and it's an honor to be able to come before him with thanksgiving. He says, enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. Hallelujah. That's what's happening tonight. Then on Tuesday, I'm skipping Monday for now. On Tuesday is an anointing service that you don't want to miss either. We want to finish this month strong. Amen? Say to your neighbor, finish this month strong. Tell your neighbor, this month is your first fruit month. You take hold of this month, and the rest of the year will be blessed of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. This is our first month in our Julian calendar, that is. It's the first month. And God will meet with us. The anointing destroys the yoke. Someone say the anointing destroys the yoke. Now, that's important for you to understand, because it doesn't say the anointing breaks the yoke. It destroys it. Praise the Lord. You know, we used to say a rhyme or a poem growing up about Humpty Dumpty. Remember that one? Fell off the Great Wall, and he could not be put together again. Well, let's give the devil a Humpty Dumpty experience. Amen? Amen? By the anointing, it destroys the yoke. Praise the Lord. Which means it cannot be put together again. Whatever has yoked me in companionship with the enemy must be destroyed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The yoke must be destroyed.
Amen.
Say, the yoke
must
be destroyed. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. During that anointing service, whatever attachment the enemy has over you must be destroyed.
Amen.
By the anointing. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 4 and verse 18, if you don't mind, put it up for me. Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel to the poor so that the poor can enjoy their poverty, so they can tolerate it. No. He wants poverty destroyed. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist was doubting, becoming double-minded because he was going through a crisis in his life and was in prison, John the Baptist sent message, should we be expecting somebody else? And the Lord Jesus Christ states, listen, this has been happening. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking. And then he ends up and tell him that the gospel is being preached to the poor. God hates poverty. Somebody say, God hates poverty. Poverty cannot abide in my life. It must leave me now. In Jesus' mighty name. The first thing the Lord Jesus Christ came to do when he first performed the first miracle was to destroy the stronghold of lack. The lack wine, and he turned an ordinary water into wine to shatter the stronghold of lack. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God hates poverty. Some say, my God hates poverty with a passion. And because God loves me, poverty cannot be yoked to me. It must be destroyed. Do you receive that word? Praise the Lord. That anointing service, you don't want to miss it. Be here for it. Because liberty is going to be released. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
It says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which is the year of liberty. Amen? We will step into our jubilee. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord instructed me on how that anointing service is going to happen. I have never seen it done before, but I saw the vision of it. While I was standing here, I saw it. So we're going to do exactly what the Lord instructed. How many of you want us to do what God instructed to do? Praise God. So that's what's going to be happening on Tuesday. Now, tomorrow is Monday. That is another unique service. This particular service is a service that is specifically designed for those that have obeyed the instruction of the Lord concerning the 2023 offerings. Now, I want you to listen and listen real good, because the enemy is a bad enemy. The devil's a liar. Amen? This particular service on Monday, those that have not obeyed the instruction of the Lord are not allowed to come to it. Those that have obeyed the instruction of the Lord. Now, there are specific figures that the Lord gave, but he also said other. Now, the other falls in the category of whatever it is God says to you. If God said to you, I want 5 cents from you, then you are invited to that service because you're obeying the instruction of the Lord. Amen? But if the Lord said 20,000 and you come with 10,000, you are not allowed to come to that service. Only those that have obeyed the instruction. Now, why God wants it that way, I can only speculate. But your ability to hear the word of God and obey it is primary in your relationship with God as you go forth. So hear from God, whether it's the figures that the Lord gave that he's asking for, or something else that he said to you. The responsibility is to you, hearing God and doing accordingly. It is the obedience. Somebody say it's the obedience, not the sacrifice. The obedience. I don't care if God said to you 1 cent. Nobody is going to check how much you gave or how much you did not give. That's between you and God. Hello? So don't come and say, Pastor said if I didn't give 2023, I cannot come. I did not say that. I have not said that. I will never say that. Praise the Lord. But I love you enough to tell you this, based on the instruction of the Lord, those who obey the instruction that he gave are allowed to be in the service. If you did not, and you have not obeyed, please, for your own sake, don't come. What did I say? Don't come. Only those who have obeyed, they heard from God and they are obeying. I don't care whether it's $0. I don't care about that. It's what God said to you. You need to learn how to hear God and obey his instruction and follow through. God, you know what? God really doesn't need our money. He said, I've got everything. He says, I'm only asking you for your own sake. Amen? Now, I'll say one more thing, and this is important. There are those who may have not heard anything. They didn't hear anything. You want me to share a secret with you? Hello? The word of God talks about a people that pursue him with an offering. They pursue him into covenant with an offering. Those are the people that may have not heard anything. We say, I have to be in that service. I'm going to come to that service. I'm going to release an offering unto the Lord. We're not going to take an offering tomorrow. I'm not taking an offering. Because the offering that you're supposed to give, you've already given. Amen? But there might be some people that I didn't hear anything from God, but I'm going to pursue after God with my offering. If that's you, you didn't hear, but you want to pursue after God and make that connection, you should be here because you're pursuing after God. And do accordingly. Did you understand that? You sure you're clear? But let me say it again. Those who are not allowed to be here are those who are not being obedient. If you have not obeyed God, don't come. Don't what? Come. I've never in my life, for 46 years, ever asked somebody not to come to a service. And I've repeated it over and over. I've spent 10, 15 minutes talking about this one thing over and over. It's for your good. Don't come. And let me finalize it. You're obeying God by not coming is going to be your connection to the blessing that God is going to be releasing. Because you obeyed God and the word of his servant to you not to come to that service. Your obedience to that is what is going to connect you to the blessing. Did you hear that? So please don't come here tomorrow and say, I'm going to just show up, you know, so that pastor doesn't know that I didn't obey God. I mean, if you know, God knows.
Yes.
Don't become an Ananias and Sapphira because it won't happen here. It will happen somewhere else. Amen? So please position yourself for what God has for you. The most important thing is not the money that you gave or did not give. It is your obedience. And I pray that everyone who loves heard me clearly. And you don't allow the enemy to spin something else off. Because that will not be good. Amen? I speak to you with the heart of God's love and expect God's love to raise everyone up to higher dimensions in him. So what's the key point? Obedience. Oh, okay. You got it. You got it. Obedience. Whether you're here or not here. Obedience. Yeah? You got it? Mama, come.
God dear everybody. Praise the Lord. Well, it's that time we pray for our children. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you spend time with your family this week? Praise God. All right. Stretch your hands. If you're sitting there, stretch your hands towards them. Father, we thank you, God, for this is the day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. It's the day you have called us, blessed us, sanctified us, caused your mercy to flow upon us. We bless every child in this house this morning. All our children, biological, spiritual, partners, extended families all over the world, all those from 120 years plus to zero form. Touch every one of them, those in the womb, those in seed form, those walking the earth, every decade of life. Visit everyone. Those that are sick, cause them to be healed, be restored, be made whole. Those that are poor, may they become rich. Those that are broken, may they be made whole. In the name of Jesus, visit every household. Where there is sorrow, let there be joy. Where there is weakness, let there be strength. In the name of Jesus, may they excel in life and see the hand of God upon their lives. May they love you and serve you all the days of their lives. This prayer is for everyone, teachers, adults, children, grandparents, parents, everyone. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you. See you later. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into our lives, into the service. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you, we receive you. Move in our hearts, in the service, in our city, in our nation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I heard one person say amen. Are you awake? That's one of the best prayers. You need the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Even Jesus needed the Spirit of the Lord. Without him, he could not function. You need the Spirit of the Lord. If you could not say amen, and you wanted me to say amen to you, you better ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. You should say another amen there again. Praise the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit will only come to those who invite him. And he's a gentle Holy Spirit, and he's very sensitive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you don't open up for him, he comes quickly and he leaves quickly. You want him to be with you. Without him, you can't do anything. You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. I think Apostle read to us this morning, Luke 4:18. What is the thing that was walking there? Praise the Lord. That's the only thing that's going to change my life and yours. Without him, let me tell you, you're just wasting your time. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I want the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, you need the Holy Spirit. It's better I go so he can come. Because he understood the value of the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit of the Lord, you can do nothing. Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. That's how God operates. So what else do you want? I want the Holy Spirit. Without him, you need him. He is not number one. God is always number one. Here we read, the Lord thy God is what? One. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are one. Praise the Lord. But for the earth realm right now, you need the Holy Spirit. He's the one that has been put in place. Praise the Lord. Jesus has moved to glory. He's forever interceding for us. But the Holy Spirit is the one that is moving everything here right now. Praise the Lord. So you need the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody say, Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh on me. Yes, amen. All right, John 14. That's what we were going to read before everything else. So praise the Lord. You know, God always knows and he prepares ahead of time. He knows all things. Let us read. We have 31 verses to read. So I will try not to make commentary. Every verse is loaded, but let's just read on. It's for you to search the scriptures and learn for yourself. How long I'll be reading for you, I don't know. I've said that for many years, but the day is coming quickly. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You should have fallen in love with the Lord so much already. Praise the Lord. Don't fall in love with man's word. Fall in love with the Lord. The Bible says everything will fail you. So you might as well go to the one that will not fail you. Praise the Lord. All right. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Somebody shout hallelujah. We are going to be forever with him. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Praise the Lord. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Somebody shout hallelujah. So the words you are hearing this morning are the Father, Jesus. Amen. He's a living word. So you can't say, I don't know the Father. You heard the word, so you know him. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Say amen. Verse 13, we're reading the 31 verses, so I hope you're reading along. Didn't come to entertain anyone this morning, so you better read along. Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. How long? How long? Is today forever? Tomorrow is forever? 10 years from now is forever? Forever means forever. Hallelujah. Say, comforter, come abide with me now. That's the Holy Spirit. That's his other name. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What's his name again? Holy Spirit, Comforter, Spirit of Truth. He has many names. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like Jesus have many names. Father God has many names. Almighty, El Shaddai, there are so many. So praise the Lord. Now, if you have a lying tongue, you just say, Holy Spirit, please come into my life. Your tongue will be transformed into truth. Because you lack the spirit of truth. Holy Spirit can't dwell there, and lying tongue can't dwell there. It's impossible. That's mixture. There's only one master. Let the spirit of truth enter you now. Say amen. So if you know you are a lying wonder, just that's what I call them, lying wonder. It's, you know, they are wonderful things, but they are lying wonders. So so ask the spirit of God. That's the fixer. Say a big amen. Amen. If you are an exaggerator, something happened and you exaggerate, you are a liar because you did not speak truth. So somebody just say, Holy Spirit, fill me now. Spirit of truth. I don't have time to break it down for you this morning. So praise the Lord. All right, verse 18. Did I finish verse 17? Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Say a big amen. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's oneness. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Say amen. Verse 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we come unto him, and make our abode with him. Somebody say big amen. Amen. So the Father only comes when you keep God's words, and they make residence in you. Say, Lord, help me to keep your words. Yes. Be a person of your word. Say amen. Amen. I say be a person of your word. If you keep God's word, you'll be a person of your word. That's why you don't quickly say something out. Say it and do it. Once you say it, it has become a vow. You must honor it. That's God's law. Praise the Lord. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Say amen. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Somebody say the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. How many things will he teach you? So if you don't have the answer and the solution, the Holy Ghost have it. Make friends with him today. Let him in today. Every problem is solvable. You just need the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Be it health, be it finance, be it anything. Be it anything. Is solvable. He said, we teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. You don't have a memory problem if you have the Holy Spirit. You will be sharp, 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 sharp until you be with him forevermore. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you are sleeping, somebody wake you up about something, it comes speedily to you. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, I need you desperately in my life. Welcome into my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. So if you have memory problem, you lack Holy Spirit. Jesus. I don't make this sense. It's right there. He said the Holy Spirit will bring into your remembrance. So, I told you Holy Spirit is sensitive. That's why the Bible says when the Spirit of God came, he came like a dove. What do doves do? Do they hang around you when you want to come close? They take off. They come when they want to come. Praise the Lord. Any disturbance, gone. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, just help me. Yes, I need this help. I don't know about you. I do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, let's do that verse 26 again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Say amen. Hallelujah. Peace I leave with you. My peace I will give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Troubled, neither let it be afraid. Somebody say amen. When your heart is troubled, you have heart issues. May God deliver us from all of it. Say, peace be still. Your heart will be perfect before the Lord. Say amen. Verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. For my Father is what? You mean Jesus is not greater than Father God? He's still his Father. Father is always greater. They're three in one. That's why the Bible says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God has brought you to God's standard, but nevertheless, you are not greater than God. No one is greater than him. He's the greatest. Hallelujah! No king, no president, no human, no nothing is greater than him. Not devils, not demons, not angels. Nothing. He's the maker of all things. So the one that made is always the greater. He has the recipe to destroy that thing he made. And he has the recipe to put it together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why it says you better fear the one that can destroy not only the body but the spirit. That means you become actually nothing. May God keep us with him. Father, that's how it's called him, Abba Father. We've been promoted. It's now called my Father and your Father. That's what Jesus said when he resurrected. He told Mary, I go to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Praise the Lord. But he's still the greatest. That's why we hallowed him. We honor him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can't honor him and don't do what he tells you to do. You do what he tells you to do. Praise the Lord. I go to my Father. So it's time for Jesus to go. He has to obey the Father. And he says, the Comforter will come and take his place. I'll send him in my name. So the Comforter is representing Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My Father is greater than I. Verse 29. Now, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and had nothing in me. Yes, he doesn't talk much, but the Holy Spirit is still talking, because he's a teacher. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your hallelujah is weak again. I say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Verse 31, last one, and then we're going to say amen. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. arise, let us go hence. So every word of Jesus is a commandment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everything you just read now is what? Jesus said it. I didn't make it up. It's right there. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Anything Father says is a commandment. Hallelujah. Say, arise, let us go hence. So arise. Hallelujah. The world of the Holy Spirit is fantastic. If you've not discovered him, just tell him to come. He'll teach you. It's an adventure. Praise the Lord. And it's a good one. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is still speaking every day. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. When the worship team was praising the Lord, we're praising God this morning, the Holy Spirit was saying, see, I told you, look. He said, telling me different things. I said, praise the Lord. You know, things you know already, he will remind you. Say, bring it to your remembrance. He had to bring something to my remembrance again this morning. And what was the remembrance? I'll just give you two. You know, one of them is, you know, after the voice, he said, he told this how he said, it's so wonderful to hear the voice of man. I said, wow, praise the Lord. Like, I know that, but he brought that to remembrance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, after God's voice on earth, the next voice was the voice of man. Praise the Lord. And God loves it when he hears our voice back to him. He loves it. Learn to use your voice and speak to your Father. Hallelujah. See, until the Holy Spirit quicken you with that simple word. It's simple, but it's not simple. It's life-changing and powerful. Then your life will be transformed. Because when you open your voice, it's not only God loves to hear your voice. Not only you want to hear him, he loves to hear you. The next voice creation the universe heard other than the voice of God is your voice. The voice of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's brought that to remembrance. What does it bring to remembrance? He brought himself as light. You know, I wrap myself in light. Like a garment. That's the word of the Lord. Now, if I ask you this morning, who can tell me where that scripture is? Huh? Psalm 93? Psalm 93, verse 1. Okay, he wraps himself in light. Praise the Lord. Do you want us to put it? Put it. Keep reading it. Amen. Okay, clothe himself with strength. Go read another one. Try Psalm 104. Let's see. He clothed himself with what? Are you guys reading? I kept quiet, and I'm hearing only Sister Loretta's voice. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, how thou very what? Great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Keep reading. Who covereth thyself with what? Light as with a garment. Who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we read Psalm 93. He clothed himself with what? Strength. Then Psalm 104, he clothed himself with what? No, we did one before the garment, and then what? Oh my God, let us read again. Jesus is Lord. He clothed himself with what? Jesus. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, I need you. What did I tell you? He brings to remembrance. Somebody asked me when last I read this scripture. Holy Spirit just brought it. Is that easy? Praise the Lord. I have never sat down one day and said, oh, let me memorize this scripture. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Holy Spirit just will do it. Would you love to have that? Is that easy? His way is the easiest way. Praise the Lord. He clothed himself with light. If he does, and he told you, we just read John 14, that I in you and you in him. So if he clothes himself, what are you clothed with? Then you're not acting it. Only by the Holy Spirit. You will have knowledge, but until you are quickened by his Spirit, it's not a reality. May the Holy Spirit bring that reality to you. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let your word reign and let what we have heard quicken in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, peace to Israel, peace to the nations. We send your peace. You've given us your peace, so we send your peace. Peace, peace, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all the nations of the earth. Bless the nations. Out of Abraham, you bless all nations. Bless all the nations and let all the nations praise you. Let the earth rejoice and give glory to you. Lord, we thank you for this service this morning. Have your way and let your name be glorified. Let the power of the Holy Ghost be made manifest in every one of our lives. Let everyone who heard the sound of my voice when we read the word and when I spoke, let the Spirit of God be quickened in their life, and let the presence of the Holy Ghost be present in every life and in every home that heard the sound of my voice this morning. Father, we thank you that you reign supremely. And we thank you that you will do what you need to do in this service this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare so done. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. This was looked like a very long week because not seeing most of you as normally we would. Didn't see you Sunday evening, didn't see you Wednesday evening, didn't see you Friday evening. That's a fest. But I thank God that we can see each other this morning. Amen? Praise God. Sunday last, I began sharing with us about the dynamics of the church, community, and family. The church is a community and it's a family. It is called the body of Christ. It's called the body of Christ. Mama just read to us from Psalm 93 and verse 1 and Psalm 104 verse 1 and 2, where it talks about God being clothed with honor and majesty, clothed with strength, clothed with light. And if we're the body of Christ, then that is what we are. We're part of the majesty of God, the light of his glory, the manifestation of his honor. And day by day, we've been changed into that as we behold him. Because the human soul is like a chameleon. It morphs to the color of what it's looking at. And as you behold him, the Word of God says that we've been changed, becoming like what we're looking at. And if you look at God, and the God that you see is wicked, then that's what you're going to look like. If you look at God and you see God as being critical and judgmental and all of that, that's exactly what you're going to look like. You become like the God you believe in. Are you with me so far? So we have to have a proper image of God. Not one that we came up with, because whatever it is that we come up with is idolatry. The true essence of who God is what we must become. He says, the works that I do shall you do also, Mama read to us. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. Why is it greater? Because when Jesus was here on the earth, he was totally man and not God. But when he died and rose again and ascended and is seated at right hand of the Father, something unique happened, a new creation. This new creation was a mix of God and man. So we have a God-man. And it is that imageness that we look at, and that God-man has this empowerment of God and man manifested in the world. So when the enemy sees you and I today, if we recognize who we are, he doesn't just see Jesus that he battled with. He sees the one who went to hell, who beat him up single-handedly. And when he sees you, he sees one who can take him out. Praise God. He sees the exalted Lord. He sees the one who is free from sin. Hallelujah. Now, that is what it's all about. On the screen, you see the image of Jesus. But back that up, and what you're going to see is that it's all individuals, single individuals, you, me. Just keep on bringing it back. And I see Lindsay. Huh. I see Brother Byron. I see Pastor Maria. I see Moses. I see me. Wow. However, the closer we look, all of a sudden, all of those images, same, back it up, become the face of Jesus. We ultimately, when we are together and are seen together, not as individuals, become that. The face of love, the face of the Redeemer, the face of the Deliverer, the face of the Savior, the face of the Provider, the face of the Healer. Together. And that's exactly what the enemy doesn't want you and I to see. And that's exactly what the enemy doesn't want the world to see. You and I functioning together. Nobody standing out. Just coming together for the higher purposes of God. Is somebody listening? The church is a community. The church is a family. The church is a body. The church is an organism. We talked about an organism is an individual living thing that carries on the activities of life by means of organs which have separate functions. They have separate functions but are dependent on each other. Therefore, they are a body. I think about the service that's happening right now. There's a lot of things happening right here, this very moment. Right now, somebody might be listening to this message in Accra, Ghana, or in Lagos, Nigeria, or in Pakistan, or in New York. Toronto, Sydney, Australia. How is that happening? Well, it's not because I'm behind here just talking. It's because there's so many other people who are doing and playing particular roles. They're those behind the camera. But no matter how wonderful that camera is, that camera cannot transmit this information to the person in Sydney. That information is going through a process. It's going through computers, and somebody's manning that computer. There are people who are doing some switching, the people behind those cameras. There are people who are passing that information through a stream. And at the other end, somebody is capturing the image and viewing whatever it is that's been done here. Now, at the same time, there are people at the soundboard making certain that my mic is working. If you keep every single thing by itself, and they are not interconnected, they do not get the same results. The result is because every single thing, whether it be a machine or a person, are correlating their efforts together to make it happen. Now, we are tapping on something called electricity to make it happen. because none of it will work without the electricity. And with my tan, without these lights, you might not see me. So the lights are playing a role. So it is with the body of Christ. Some people are playing particular roles that may not be visible. Now, right this very moment, while all of this is happening, the only person that's really visible and anybody's hearing right now is me. Does that make me more important than anybody else? The reality is this. Without them doing their part, no matter how great I might think I am, I become nothing. My voice is because of who it is that's helping me. I must do my part, because if I keep my mouth shut, all you see is just the image. I must do my part. They must do their part. The church is a people who cooperating together, cooperating. Someone say cooperating. You see in that word, co and operating. Cooperating is everybody operating but together. If we are not working together, we are not operating. Huh? Nobody is more important than the other. Everybody is important. Now, God puts particular classifications so that there is order, and there is going to be classes even when we get to heaven. And the New Jerusalem. While everybody is saved, everybody is not in the same class. Hello? Everybody doesn't have the same honor. But we'll all be in the same room. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I may not be at the high table, but I'm in the room. And the important thing is to be part of the family, playing my part. Because every single one of us will give an account for their particular role in the body. Now, they are not doing their part. It's not an excuse when it comes to the family of God. What's important is that you are doing your part and ready to go. And whenever they wake up, that you are there, ready to go. Hello? If I were the only one here today, it would be difficult to preach, because who are you preaching to? But I'm sure you've heard me say this before, that every service, whenever I open my mouth, I have an audience of one. And you might be surprised who the audience of one is. The audience of one is not you. The audience of one is the Lord. Because I am preaching so that he says, that's exactly what I will say. You just said exactly what I wanted you to say. And I must make certain that I don't say anything that he is not saying. I take that absolutely seriously. So what do I do if there was nobody here? If my assignment was to preach, I will preach. I will preach. So to who? To whatever it is that's in here when I cannot see them. Hallelujah. I might just take that opportunity to remind the devil, did you know Jesus even died to make sure that you get saved, but you're too foolish to not know that God loves you, even you? Because the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 2 that he died for all of his creation. When are you going to get smart enough to know that you need to get saved and stop fooling around and messing up? I will preach to the devil, the Word of God. Hallelujah. It says, preach to all creation. Hallelujah. So there's not a time, if that is my assignment, to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, for me not to do it. I'm not going to pass my calling to somebody else. I remember my spiritual father. I don't remember what country. I think possibly it was in Kenya, one of the East African countries. We'd arrived to do a conference. And he'd gone to his hotel room and he decided to exercise and he tripped and fell, hurt himself badly. They had to call doctors to come take care of him. I didn't know anything about it. The evening came, and I saw him coming into the service. My part in ministering to the people, and then he will come, and then he will minister, and then turn it over to me or whoever it is that was in the team to minister healing to the people. I saw him come in with sweats. He's coming with sweats. I'm looking. I say, what is he doing coming in here with sweats? Those are the same things he was wearing when we were coming, and I saw a Band-Aid. I'm looking at him. I say, what's this man doing in here? Anyway, he ministers, and he ministers powerfully. And we're on our way back, and we were in Panama. The hotel, and we're having dinner together. And somehow, the guy that normally takes care of him blotted out about this, what had happened where we just came from. I said, Papa, you know I was here, right? Yeah, and he was here. You had such a fall, hurt yourself that badly, and you still came and stood behind that pulpit when you could have just called one of us here to minister to the people? He just looked at me and smiled. I knew what that smile was about. Well, if God has spoken to me that I'm supposed to speak in that service, no devil in hell is going to stop me from being there. Hallelujah. I looked at this man and I said, oh my God, help me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to stand when things are difficult, because I know what my role is. The question I must ask every one of us here, is do you know what your role is? And if you do, how much focus are you giving to it? Because understand that if you're supposed to be this pinky and you are not there, I am left with four fingers. These four fingers may work, but now I'm pinky challenged. Hello? Yeah, pinky challenged. Because the pinky's not there. Lose your big toe and see how well you walk. Every part of you gives balance to you. A sick church is sick because somebody in that church is not playing their part. Every one of us has a role. We are God's community. We have an assignment, and we must honor that assignment by the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come with me quickly to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Beginning to read from verse 4. The word of God says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There is one calling, there is one spirit, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That is powerful. One Father, one God, one Father who is above all. This God is above all, and he's through all. In other words, I wish I had a bead here, a bracelet of some sort. But if you can imagine it, a bracelet made out of beads. There's a hole in between each bead, and there's a thread that goes through all of those beads. And all of a sudden, the bead becomes the bracelet. Do you see that? Okay. The Father, who is above all, and he's through every one of you. He is the Father who is flowing through you all. And he's not just going through you, he's in you. Hallelujah. The body of Christ has God going through it and God in it. We are filled with the consistency of himself. Blessed be the name of the living God. I'll come back to Ephesians 4. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 3, 15 and 16. It says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The Father's name
The Father's name is on every one of us. How important is that? Because the word of God, God tells Moses, he says, I want you to speak my blessing upon the people, that my name has been placed on. The blessing comes upon me because the Father's name is on my life, on your life. We are the church, and the Father's name is on us, which demands and pulls in the blessing. Hallelujah. 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 The blessing is what releases all of God's goodness. We represent the goodness of God. You see, when people saw Israel, they did not see anything visible that marked them out to be different. Other nations had markings. For example, we have in Nigeria a tribe called the Yorubas, and in days back, they will have markings on their face. It's not as common now. But we used to have a leader from the Yoruba tribe called Akintola many years ago, and there were deep markings on his face because it was markings that marked him out to be from a particular group of people that were in covenant with another group of people. So when you saw the mark, you know, this, we have covenant with these people. We cannot mess with these people. Are you with me so far? Now, for the Jew, there was nothing visible, but he had a marking. The marking was hidden from view. So how did you know that he was a Jew? By the blessing on his life. The manifestation of the glory of God on his life. The wealth and riches that were abiding in his house. The same is true for the body of Christ, this family of God. People should see us, and just by seeing us, say, you are. So many times, people see me and they say, you must be a preacher. And I say, why do you say that? You say, you look like a preacher. Without saying anything, they already marked me out. Now, sometimes it is based on natural happenings. I'm coming back. I've not forgotten my passage. But sometimes it's the identification of spirit to spirit. I remember I was in New York, close to a place called Secaucus. And I'm walking, and this guy, never seen him ever in my life, says, preacher, what are you doing here? What on earth? I knew that was a demon speaking. We were walking in Israel, in a market. And all of a sudden, this guy yells out, never seen him, Bishop Mike, what are you doing here? I said, oh, yeah. I said, remember this? Because the mark of God is on your life. You see, We should be identified by the goodness of God that is stamped on our lives. The church should not be looking at the world. The world should be looking at us and say, I want some of that. This is one of them. Chosen, anointed. Hallelujah. Verse 15, Ephesians 3. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Why? Why do you need to be strengthened in your inner man? Well, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The problem is that it says that God will grant to you. A grant is something that is given. He says, I'm praying that God will grant you. That means the grant has not been given. But I'm praying that it be given. Why? Because you recognize that you belong to God. The problem with the church is that we've not recognized that we belong to God. We think that we're just a religious group. This is not about religion. This is about a relationship that is based on a connectivity with a God who is above all. Hallelujah. He's God and he's above all. And that God is in me and is flowing through me. And therefore, when I see a brother, there is a connection. Connection. And all of a sudden, you come together and you know that you're one. We are one people. It's not about I'm Presbyterian, I'm Catholic, I'm Anglican, Jehovah's Witness, whatever. You see, there are people in all of these faith systems that are going to go into the kingdom of God. Hello? Because God is not as interested in whether you're counting rosaries as he is interested in whether you have his son. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we need to connect with each other and love each other and trust each other to grow in the things of God, because not everybody is in the same class. Some people are in grade one, some people are in kindergarten, some people are doing their master's. In God. Don't despise the one that's in kindergarten, because one of these days they might just grow up. And they grow up by you teaching them, working with them. And we need to love each other enough to groom each other in the things of the Spirit. And one of the things that we must learn is that we've got to be a people of order. Praise the Lord. Strengthened in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being present tense, continuous, rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Which means that's where you pull in your nourishment from. If you're rooted and grounded in love, you are pulling nutrients. And the Bible says God is what? Love. So you are rooted and grounded in God. May be able to comprehend. When you're rooted and grounded in God's love, you will be able to comprehend, understand with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth what? Knowledge. That ye might be filled with the fullness of God. That you might be filled with what? The fullness of God. The fullness of God. All that God is. How? Because you're rooted and grounded in love. Now, that rootedness and groundedness in love is supposed to cause us to produce fruit. And guess what happens to fruit? They get plucked. No fruit is in existence for itself. And as a community of God, we must understand that we are not here for ourselves. We're here to serve, just like the fruit serves. The church people serve each other. Hallelujah. This is what causes God to do that which is exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, which is the power of God's love, the power of God himself. Now take me back to Ephesians 4. And I'm not even close. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There's one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto us, every one of us, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, the gift of the Anointed One. Unto every one of us is given grace, the charis of God, the enablement of God, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So God gives me strength beyond my natural abilities to match up with the gift he has given to me. Praise the Lord. So if you try to do me, when God has not given you the grace to do me, you are going to burn out. A lot of people burn out because they're trying to do somebody else's gift. Are you listening? You're called to do you. And God gives you the grace to do you. And you need to be faithful in doing you, because you're going to give account of the you that you were given the grace and the gift to do. I hope you didn't get confused by that. I'm not going to give an account for what God called you to do. I'm going to give an account for what God called me to do. And no matter who wants to convince me not to do what God called me to do, if I listen to them, I will be like King David, who's supposed to be in the war front, but was convinced to stay home. And when he stayed home, Bathsheba happened. When you are not doing what God called you to do, you expose yourself to failure. God called me to be faithful to what he called me to do. And I'm going to give an account. I'm not going to give an account for him. I'm not going to give an account for you. I'm going to give an account for me. Now, there's a part where I give an account for you today, because I'm supposed to give a report back to the Lord. This is what's happening, and that's what's happening, and this is what's going on here, and this is what's happening over here. And God says, this is not in the Old Testament, now in the New Testament, be certain that the guy that I have as my under shepherd over you doesn't bring a bad report. Because if he brings a bad report, I'm going to be on your case. It's in the Bible. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, notice that, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Praise the Lord. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So that tells us where hell is. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all what? Heavens. That he might fill all things from hell to the heavens and beyond. I fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the what? Perfecting. For the perfectings. The word is the word katatismos. And it simply means for the complete furnishing. The complete furnishing of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the role of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, is to furnish the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry. My role is to help you do ministry. Ah. How does the church put it? The church says, I'm the minister. God says, no, he's not the minister. You are the minister. Does that tell you that it's backwards? The word of God says, you do the work of ministry. My role is for the edifying, the building up of the body. So when I talk to you about the obedience factor, as I did for about 10 minutes this morning, it's not for tearing down, it's for building up. But in building up, you've got to tear down first so you can build. And in this year of restructuring, God is going to challenge all of our beefs. The thing that you must not do is get offended. Oh, I don't like what the pastor said. I don't like it. Don't get offended, because God is going to go at you until you get strengthened in your inner man. Amen? Hallelujah. This is not like church Z over there or F over there. This is this church. And this church has an assignment. And the assignment is to make sure that every one of us are properly furnished. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know I've taken so much time this morning, but let me just stop at this. Come with me to Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. It says, through wisdom is an house built or builded. Through wisdom. What's wisdom? The ability to come hear God's word and to do it. It says, the fool came, heard the words of God, but did not do it. In other words, did not obey it. The wise one came, heard the word of God, and did it. It says the storm of life came for both of them. The foolish man's house fell because it was built on sand. The wise man's house stood because it was founded on the solid rock. Amen? It says true wisdom is a house built, and by understanding, it is established. When you have understanding, you are not easily deceived. Because you understand. If you understand money, you'll know how to invest. What to invest in, when to go in, when to go out, because you understand money. If you don't understand money, you'll be investing and losing all the time. But once you understand money and the concept of money, you'll be able to do what money is supposed to do for you. When you understand money, you understand that money is a servant. Money will not give you happiness or true joy. You understand that money is an anointing. Because money will multiply whatever it is that you have inside of you. Just like the anointing, and that thank you, Lord. I was supposed to say something to you about the anointing service that I neglected to say, and it was this. Be certain before you come through the anointing line that you, whatever it is that is in you that does not belong, that you lay it at the feet of the Lord and say, God, take this thing away from me. Don't just come through that line, because it's going to be a dangerous line for you to come through, because you come through there and you got pornography and all kinds of mess inside of you, and you're coming through there, you are going to get exposed. Did you hear that? You are going to have a major problem that it will flush it out. It will, that which you've been hiding will blow up on the mountaintop. So you don't want to come, just go to the Lord and confess it. You know, Papa, I saw that happen with Papa so many times, and I've seen that happen in our ministry. People come with a wrong thing, and all of a sudden, instead of getting better, they get worse because they were hiding something. And boom, the anointing multiplies. Whatever is inside of you. So embrace love. If you have bitterness and strife inside of you, you're going to get more angry and more filled with strife. You're going to be showing up, acting crazy all over the place. You don't want that. Does anyone want that? No. But you want God to multiply what's inside of you that he has put inside of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then he says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And that's what God is talking about the perfecting of the saints. Bringing completion, the wealth and riches of God, the glory of God. And I pray that as the church of Jesus Christ, that we will be a manifestation of God's goodness in this last of the last days. Amen? Hallelujah. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are here and we want all that you have for us. This day we denounce every activity of darkness. And we say, Lord, build your church. The church that the gates of hell will not prevail over. The church that shows forth the manifestation of of who you are, the Christ. Even as Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. The Christ, the anointed one. The Christ who came to serve and to save. Lord, O God, may we be a manifestation of that same grace, that the world may know that you're the God who loves. Help us to find our place. Help us to understand our calling and our giftings. Help us to know that we are here in a service because we're called to serve, not to spectate. That we, every one of us, be fully engaged in our calling, one calling, to see the lost come to salvation. May we expend our resources to make certain that this is so. Wherever we are, wherever we go, let the Lordship of Jesus Christ be evident. Thank you, Father, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. We want it to be a natural thing for us as believers to know that when we come, that we don't come empty-handed, that we come to serve God with our giving and serve each other. Praise the Lord. A worship service is about understanding the worth of each other and magnifying the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, recognizing the greatness of God in each one. And when we recognize the greatness of God in each one, we don't abuse each other. Because when you call people names, you must understand that the Word of God says God the Father is through you all and in you all. So when you call your brother a fool, you're calling God a fool. Because God is in him, in her. Somebody listening? When we understand that, we will honor each other, be loving to each other, kind towards each other. There is nothing anybody in the body does that will cause you to speak negatively about them. All you and I are called to do is to love, restore, encourage, help each other, be the best version of God that God has called them to be. Make sense? Praise the Lord. And with that, let us share in communion together. Mama, please come. Hallelujah. Does everyone have the elements? As you take of this body and drink of the cup, receive all that God is. Receive healing for your body. Receive provision for every aspect of your life. Receive wholeness. All that God is, let it be manifest for every one of us. Praise the Lord. Now take of this body of the Lord and eat and receive everything Father has for you.
Bible says the blood of Jesus speak better things than that of Abel. So this morning we'll say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Have your way in my life.
Have your way in my life.
Fill me.
Fill me.
With the fullness.
With the fullness.
Of God.
Of God.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen. Let us close by singing what they are playing right now together. If you can find it, O Lord my God. Thank you, Lord. You are a great, great God. Greater than the greatest. Stronger than the strongest. Bigger than the biggest. You are an awesome God. And we worship your majesty. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Amen. Go in the grace of the Lord, and may God's peace garrison your hearts. Look forward to seeing you tonight at 6:30. Amen. Don't forget 6:30 tonight. We bless Brother Josiah.
Josiah, shalom.
And Sister Angie Sheik.
Shalom.
Blessings.